This episode of Cannasations with Chris is presented by the 6th Annual Vermont Cannabis Convention. Join us on June 14th and 15th at the Champlain Valley Expo for two full days of exhibitors, interactive panels, education, medical and advocacy conversations, and a whole lot of networking. Visit dcan.com/Vermont or visit your local dispensaries for tickets and info. Now sit back, relax, partake in some festivities, and listen to another episode of Cannasations with Chris. This is my never didn't think this would happen in this industry, but hey, you got too high on Cannasations, now you can't have a Cannasations, right? I guess that's a good thing, right?
So yeah.
All right, let me get you right.
I'm a seasoned pro.
Hell yeah. You been on podcasts before?
No.
This is your first?
Mm-hmm. I never talked into a microphone before.
This podcast is brought to you by the letter C, which stands for cannabis, but not Chris. That starts with a K. That's right. You are listening to nothing other than
Cannasations with Chris. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of your favorite podcast, Cannasations with Chris. I am, of course, your host, Chris. And what we like to do on this show is we like to highlight the cannabis industry here in Vermont. And I think I'm like on episode 53, 54, somewhere in there, I believe. And starting to stack them up, you feel me? So today, my guest that we have, first of all, before I just tell you who you are, but thank you for pulling up. This man drove up from Rutland. Like, I was like, look, last time we met, the first time we met was down at Cambridge Cannabis.
Right.
You was down there on the Meet the Maker. And that's my thing. Like, whenever they have somebody I ain't had on, I mean, I pull up all the time when there's somebody there or somebody not there. I'm always down there. But I met you at Meet the Maker. I had seen your products out and about, but I never knew nothing about them, things like that. So it was cool that you was there. And I was like, yo, let's get you on the show. I'm 5 minutes up the road. And he was like, well, I'm 2 hours from here. And I was like, all right. He was like, but I'll pull up. So without further ado, we have Matt.
Shit.
What is it? Matt.
Matt's good.
You just leaving it at Matt?
Matt's good.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. Then I ain't fucking up. Yeah, because you don't need to know nothing else. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, so Matt of Sugar Shack Melts, and he bought, look, usually what I do, because this is a cannabisation, I have, you know, I'm like, hey, you know what I'm saying, you smoke some flower, but he pulled up with all melts. Like, oh my God. And this is some dope ass packaging you got here.
Where's shout out to the VT Heady Labels guys.
VT Heady Labels.
Really, Dave is really the all-star of this project, I think. I mean, I had a vision, but he was really the guy that put it together for me. And, you know, it was the first time I had worked with a company overseas to get something manufactured like this in high quantities. And that in itself was kind of difficult, you know, with the language barrier and the 13-hour time change or whatever's going on. You know, it was kind of hard to communicate with everybody, but it worked.
Yeah.
And it was great. But
it's just some dope.
Like, they really put it together.
Yeah, this is some real dope packaging. It's like a hexagon.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little hexagon packaging with the when you open it up, it's like, ah. Oh, I ain't know the hologram joint. I didn't see the.
Yeah.
Okay, I see you working, sir. That's what's up. All right, well, look, let's get into the episode. Hey, I'm good. You can, if you want to.
Like, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Please.
Cool.
So he pulled up with the puff coat, so we in here puffing
on
the
puff
coat.
Yeah, we were going to be puffing. I was actually going to hand you this one, because
okay.
It was a different package.
Oh, is it? Oh.
For the carts.
Oh, shit. Okay. Let me open it up.
Yeah, I think that one's actually empty.
But
I brought you some for you, so.
Oh. Yo, you.
Here's the Sour Tangy, which is one of my staples. I've been running for a while.
Sour Tangy, I like the flavor of it.
Oh, yeah. The straight.
Yeah.
Straight citrus, orange citrus.
Yo, this is some, I like this, yo, this packaging is dope. Like, I like the, how the button is the sun.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the child-proof, got to incorporate it into the design, and then it's all custom cartridge itself,
shit.
Too. So the cartridge says single-source solventless on it, and It has my logo on there.
Yo, I ain't never seen it with the logo on the joint. Let me see it real
quick. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's official. Oh, you the man.
And take the silicone cap off. These are all glass cartridges, so there's no...
Yo, okay. It won't spill?
No, because if you look at it, it's sealed on the inside. That goes all the way down to the bottom.
Okay, I see it. It's okay. It's like a cylinder down the
exactly,
middle.
Exactly.
Yo, you want some high tech?
These are nice, and because the mouthpiece has such a large like opening in it, yeah, they're less likely to have like clogging issues.
Okay. Yes. And I like these caps. Like you can like really put them back on you.
Yeah, I keep them too. Like I just hold it in my hand when I'm hitting it. Yeah. And put it back on because then you don't get like lint
from
hair
your pocket
on
and shit like that. Yeah, man. Yeah, you onto something, son. Usually we talk about the product later, but since you pulling it out, I'm like, hey, let's get it. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, BT, any labels? They got some. I work with them for my pre-roll.
You know what I'm
saying?
Nice.
So, yeah, I'm kind of versed on them. They be pulling up. But let's talk about you. Once again, thank you for pulling up to the show, bringing these, you know, tasty samples and stuff for me. But let's talk about you. I know... We had a little pre-interview before, but you're a pretty interesting cat. So, yeah, tell us a little bit about you.
It has a lot to do with weed. It's a big part of my life. Yeah. I got into weed through the glassblowing community, glassblowing scene back in the early... 2000s.
Oh, I got a glass blower on as well. Okay.
You know, that always kind of led into the weed one way or another. And then after school, I moved to California and kind of got more into the weed. And that just kind of took everything over when I got into like farming. And so, like, I was selling a bunch of weed.
Yeah.
And that's how I kind of got involved with the industry initially. And then that kind of led into growing, yeah, and then like really kind of getting deep and nerding out about the growing, and really that became more important than a lot of it, you know, like growing really good weed. I was always really more concerned with having a higher quality and not really, exactly. There was always guys just pumping it out, trying to make money, trying to do this. And it's like,
no way.
I don't feel like those guys ever learned how to grow weed, you know? And then when the market gets squeezed, those guys are the first to go because you can't sell, exactly. And if you never knew how to, you know, for a long time, weed didn't really have to be good. It just had to be there.
It just had to be weed.
But yeah, like, exactly.
You know? I remember smoking some trash weed and was like, this is great. And then I'm smoking good weed. I'm like, man, what the fuck was I smoking? Like, but that's what was readily available to smoke.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and that's what the market was. It was just people just wanted a bunch of cheap weed, you know, and quality was second. And... Mm. I always try to have the best weed in the room and if I don't, I'm all over that guy that does. I'm like, yo, let me get some, let's smoke some of that, dude. Like, I'm like,
hell yeah. Do you remember what your first grow was like?
Yeah, I grew in this like cabinet that I ordered off the internet in like, I don't know, like senior year in high school. We like ordered this cabinet. This is in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And I don't even think we ever plugged it in. But then when I went to college in Jersey, I took it with me and plugged it in. And I was growing. And this is a little cabinet. This is like, I don't know, 6 feet tall, four feet wide, two feet deep. It's like a filing cabinet.
Oh, that's okay.
But it was like all enclosed, you know? Yeah. I don't even remember. Let's say it was like $1,500 and it was like a cabinet with a light and a fan and a this and a that. And like
it was like a big computer box.
But like sold out of the back of the High Times magazine.
Exactly.
Like back in the day before indoor was really a thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what's up. So you got bud out of it?
It was, I thought it was awesome, right? Yeah. It was like, it definitely wasn't anything special or a lot.
Yeah.
And it was like some seeds and, you know, going through it. And it,
you got a little something coming out.
Yeah.
You get stoned.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember it working. I remember being stoked, being like, oh, sweet. Like, I just want to grow my own weed all the time now, you know? And then when I moved to L.A., I got a house to grow weed in for the first time and had like a little, it was like a two-bedroom house. Yeah. And I was growing weed in one of the bedrooms. I had like four lights. You know, like that was like sweet.
Hell yeah.
This is it, you know? But back then, weed was...
still the devil. Still bad, very legal.
Yeah, but it was worth a lot of money too. So, like, you know, you could make a living out of a pretty small situation.
Yeah.
And then I was still blowing glass too.
Yeah. Did you have a whole glass blowing setup?
I went to college to make lab equipment.
Oh shit!
So I got a job out of college, which was out in California. So it like moved me out to California.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was working, you know, 40 hours a week at a glass shop and then growing some weed at home.
Yeah.
And also like blowing glass after hours over there doing my own
thing.
Okay,
that's the hustle,
like,
baby.
I was trying to like accelerate my art career on top of like working for other people, you know?
That's the hustle.
But then the weed thing just started to kind of take over, and then I moved up to Northern California, West Sonoma County for a couple years. Out on the Russian River, and that's when I started like growing weed full time, like main focus. And then a couple of years after that, got the ranch, which was like,
how big was the ranch?
80 acres of nothing. This is absolutely nothing. I got into an owner carry situation at I was 20 or 21.
Yeah.
So I was paying $2,000 a month for 80 acres. You know, it doesn't sound that bad, right?
No. So, shit. But it's all flat.
Oh,
right?
No. I mean, it was the top of a mountain.
Yeah, on a mountain. So but it was.
But it was nothing. Like, there wasn't roads. You know, so I put in the well, put in the septic, put in a bunch of roads, put in buildings, built houses, built gardens, like, you know, really turned it into like this.
Cannabis oasis.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was pretty sweet. Yeah. So got that all built up to, you know, from nothing into, you know, a substantial business.
Yeah. And this was all legacy market, correct?
Yeah. I was part of some of the first like pilot programs in the country for recreational cannabis.
Yeah,
when they were like trying it out at first.
Yeah.
They would sell zip ties at the sheriff's department. And they'd be like, all right, you could grow 99 plants, and the zip tags are, I forget how much they were. They're like $100 a piece. So, you go down there with a stack of $10,000 if you wanted to grow 100 plants.
Yo, that's crazy.
Right to the sheriff's department.
That's what I was about to say. You could go to the station, to the police station to get weed tags.
Not the ag department. Not like right to the fucking sheriff's department.
That's crazy.
And it would just be like a zip tag with a fucking serial number on it.
Hell yeah.
So they did that for a couple of years. But that was even still kind of like, there was no dispensaries. There was no outlets. They were just letting you grow the weed, charging you money to let you grow the weed, knowing that you're diverting it all into an illicit market because there was no stores.
Hold up.
2010.
Hold up. Wait. I thought you was going to buy these tags with a license or something.
Oh, no. This is like way before all of this. There is no licenses. There's no framework for a program anywhere in the country at this point. There's maybe some medical programs.
Yeah,
definitely some medical
programs.
Absolutely. Yeah. But they are, you know.
That's crazy.
They know what's going on.
You
know? And it's like when you get up there, you know, Northern California, specifically the Emerald Triangle, Mendo, Humboldt, Lake Sonoma, Trinity, parts of like, you know, Grass Valley area, Nevada County. You know, little parts of different counties all around that main area. But really, I feel like the heart of that is like Mendo and Humboldt. And everybody's involved, you know, and especially back then it was like it literally ran the economy. You know, if people aren't selling weed or the price of weed is down, people aren't buying cars, people aren't buying houses, people aren't going to get their teeth fixed. It's like it literally stops everything. So legalization really kind of fucked a lot of things up out there. You know, you're talking about fourth and fifth generation cannabis farmers that like they don't really know anything else. You know, but that's like grow, what they do. And then some of that shit gets taken away because maybe their properties can't pass some environmental standards or something like that. And California can be really strict with that stuff.
Oh, shit.
You know, they'll have like a, I don't know, environmental specialist come out there to tell you that you have like an endangered butterfly or like a shut her down.
Shut her down.
These fucking tadpoles are protected, but whatever it is, you know what I mean?
Hey, that's crazy.
But, and just the, I mean, dude, I had, this is just a random example of some of the extensive regulation. I had like a mile and a half driveway behind my gate.
Yeah.
I think by like the end of that 12-year stint, well, not even. After I started going legal, so like 5 or 6 years, and started having to deal with like some erosion control stuff and some environmental issues, I had 6 figures into that driveway.
Jesus Christ.
And only about half of that was like physical, like equipment work. A lot of it was paperwork and engineers pushing paper, civil engineers.
Yo, that is crazy.
And that's like, I got off pretty easy. Like, people just got put out of business for
it. Yeah, hell yeah.
They're offering grants. You know, people would have to get $200,000 and $300,000 grants to deal with. They have these thing called LSAs. It's a lake and stream alteration. But I mean, you're talking on these back dirt roads, literally every time a road goes over any sort of water, even if it's only seasonal or only when it's raining, if a culvert goes under that road, if there's water flowing in it, like that's a LSA. So some of these roads are requiring, the LSA is what like the form is called or the paperwork process you have to go through.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this is with like the California Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Yeah.
So it's like,
everybody got a hand out.
You got to hire fucking attorneys to do it. Yeah, you know what right. I mean? So it's like,
you say you got
hydrologists
wild.
And like all the, I mean,
hydrologists.
I had a personal one. I have a great one if anybody needs one. I learned a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, but it's crazy because like you're saying, everybody, even the wildlife people got their hands in flower because just growing cannabis because they you can't do this without this. And you got to make sure you got to go to them and pay them, go over there and make sure you also get them.
And Vermont's not really like that. But like out in some other states, it's like you're paying the, I'm just going to use California for an example.
Absolutely,
because that's what I'm familiar with. Yeah. I mean, I was there working in that industry for a long time. So, you know, you got the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, you got Cal Fire, you got the Water Board. I know I'm not thinking of everybody. There's probably three more that I'm just drawing a blank on because I've been so focused on these Vermont regs lately and haven't really been paying attention to that.
But you got to pay like 4 to 5 different entities.
Oh, yeah. You got to pay them to send people out and do inspections or whatever. And like each step along the way, they're trying to shut you down. You know what I mean?
They're not trying to give it to you.
Yeah.
They're like, there's enough of you out there. So we're trying to fuck you over. So damn, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was like, you know, they were supposed to not let big companies come in for a bunch of years because they had that, like, there's a huge culture out there with cannabis.
It's like millions of people in California. So
they were trying to give us a head start. They were like, all right, well, we're not going to let these big companies come in for 5 years. We're going to let our like little mom and pop farms like get a hold in this market. And that didn't happen. That just like got taken over and everybody got pushed out. And it was different out there. It's like anywhere else, almost anywhere else, they're just starting a new industry. It's like, hey, who wants to work with weed now? But out there, it's like they're taking thousands of already operating illegal businesses and trying to regulate them or make them go legal. And like, that's a whole different situation.
Yeah, that's crazy. And it's not, none of that is like, I don't even think we have the majority of the departments they got in California and Vermont.
Well,
like,
and that's good. You know what I mean? I mean, California's over-regulated with everything. Think about their auto shit with like the smog and like blah, blah, blah. But unfortunately, like a lot of states follow suit. You know, California starts a lot of those trends.
That's what I was about to say.
In the different industries, like auto regulations, like smog shit, or the government warnings on stuff. When you look at it, even if you're in Vermont, it says these chemicals are known to the state of California to cause cancer. Like, that's pretty silly. You know what I mean?
Like, they're on two totally different spectrums.
It's politics that are, like, reaching all over the place. It's pretty insane.
That's crazy.
But, yeah, I don't know.
So, one thing I wanted to talk to you about was you was telling me about you got knocked out there with running plants. You had how many plants cut?
The first time I got busted by the Special Task Force, they came and got 150 plants.
Oh, shit. I've seen, like, what 150, almost 150 could look like.
I mean, these are big plants. And that's all right.
That's the other thing about California. Y'all don't be producing no, like, 6-7 foot plants. These is like fucking trees out there.
I mean, they're 5 to 15 pounds, depending on
a plant
per plant. They're trees. They're trees. They're on 20-foot centers, and they're almost touching by the end of the year. So they get pretty large. So, you know, they got 150 plants straight up, like, rappelled down from a helicopter out of rope with, like, full riot gear on.
Did you see
fucking
it?
AK-47s. Yeah. Yeah, I was sitting there. I was watering my plants. I was like, fuck, today's the day. Because you see them riding around up there. They're, like, deciding what garden they're going to hit.
Which
hood are we going to go to today? Because, like, up there, it's like you go up a dirt road, there might be 10 or 20 ranches up there. 90% of them have illicit grows on them. Yeah. You know what I mean? So they'll like, go, and they'll be in the air, and then they'll call the boys to come up the road, and then they'll come up with the wood chippers, and they'll just start knocking off farms, you know? And I'll be like, shit, they got the neighbors yesterday. Are they going to come and get me today? And you'll be sweating. And then sometimes they'll just be on to the next neighborhood, or sometimes they'll come right back and pick up where they left off and just take the rest of them out.
Yo.
But then they would start just putting things on your gate, like permit applications. Like, hey, no, you come get a permit for this.
We don't have to do this. Just fill out this paperwork.
So then I was kind of like, I was on top of a mountain, couldn't really hide. I wasn't really like gorilla status. I was like growing out in the open, growing giant plants out in the open. So if I wanted to continue what I was doing on the same spot, I kind of had to go legal or do something else.
Absolutely.
And there wasn't really anything else to do. I wanted to keep building that ranch and
growing. Hell yeah, absolutely. You had already invested so much into it, so shit.
Yeah, so then I started really investing money into it, right? Because then it gets real expensive when you start getting permits and stuff. And
that's crazy.
Broke all the time. And made it happen, but had to like really expand to keep up once that happened. I had to go from like 2,500 square feet to like 10,000 square feet just to stay relevant. 10,000 square feet, still a pretty small farm out there.
Damn.
And it was all greenhouse, 10,000 square feet of greenhouses. About half of that was getting light depth. And
that's crazy. I know old school, they're like, that's where I first heard about old school weed company out in, I think it's on the Stowe Morristown line. But that's where I first heard of light depth. I was like, okay, that's pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, so like out there, I would do it to get multiple crops. I mean, I guess you could do it like that out here too. It's kind of what I do, but mostly it's to like beat the weather.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he said. He's like, I can pull two.
You can pull two, or you could just pull one, but you can control when it goes up and when it comes down.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, look, we about to hit this Puffco again, but once he finishes, I am going to ask him to do, it's awesome. Now, it's crazy. I've been going to like therapy and shit. And like, I've often been told to look back on what you're doing. So when I look at this table, I remember like the first couple stickers I put on was like Freedom Flower and Holly Rooted and, this little section, Zen Barn. And now here we are. Look at this table, dog. This table is full. And your sticker is going to have to go on it, good sir. wherever you want as well. And the sticker is down. Thank you so much for putting the sticker on the table. Shit's turning into something, man. So, and look, shout out to my dog SK for these beats. So, check this shit out. All right, well, we're going to get into the next segment of the show called Own Weed. And what this is you didn't just start smoking on October 1st when this is legal, obviously, because people have listened to this podcast before. But I like to find out how you like to smoke and things you like to do when you smoke. So even I know the answer to this question. How do you like to consume?
My preferred method would be... I don't really have a preferred method, but I definitely need to consume.
See, all of the above. Will it get me high? Then I'm going to
try. The delivery method is.
Yeah. Whatever's clever.
Whatever works. Yeah. Whatever's there at the moment. I do like this Puffco, but when I'm at home, I do tend to do more of like a classic torch.
So would you say concentrates is the way that you smoke?
Yeah, I do smoke flower. I enjoy smoking flower. I just don't smoke a lot of flower.
Yeah.
But like flower gets me super stoned.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
you
yeah.
smoke hash all day, but if I smoke a joint at the end of the day, like it's game over. Man. Yeah. That, like, entourage effect is a real thing.
That's why I said I wanted to start getting into waxes and things like that, just so I can cut back on the flower, because I smoke flower all day.
It's hard on the body, man.
It is.
It's like, you know, we smoke, you know, especially if you're a heavy smoker, like you're smoking a blunt.
That's every day. I smoke like 2 to 3 blunts a day.
That's what I mean. And like, that's good, but like you could probably stay as high on like a gram of hash.
That's,
you know what I mean? It's like, it's just a lot. It's a lot less. I don't know.
Nah,
I went through it a lot, you know, and I went through times where I always had a joint hanging out of my mouth.
Yeah.
I'd reek like weed everywhere I went. And like, whatever, it is what it is. But hash is pretty nice. It's pretty slick. Like, yeah, I rip these things in hotel rooms all the time. Like, it just doesn't smell. It doesn't smell
crazy.
Like weed smells. It's like...
Yeah, it doesn't have that burn.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
I remember I was in a hotel in Rutland. I was staying at it in Rutland. And I smoking a blunt and then put it out and went in the hotel room. And then a lady walked around and was like, somebody's smoking weed. And I'm like, nah, I ain't smoking. I smoked outside, but I bought the blunt in. So that's what I'm saying. Like, even a blunt that's not just put out, you can give off that
it
heavy
stinks.
Weed or it stinks,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's why I'm glad it came out with little tubes. You can just boop and
yeah.
boom. Man, you won't smell shit. You know?
I got pulled over smoking this thing once, and I just put it next to me in the cup holder, and like, nothing was said. It didn't smell. Just, you know, we did the traffic ticket, went on with our day.
Yeah, that's what's up.
I was kind of nervous.
I would have been,
but
too.
I was like, play it cool, bud.
Play it cool. Be cool, ice cold. Just be cool. Nah. Next question is, when we get stoned, we like to eat. So what is your munchie that you like to eat when you get stoned?
Oh, man. So that's been like an issue for me. Ooh. So I try to enjoy munching out on like maybe some better stuff like but I definitely like pig out, but I'll, you know, I'll go for like a couple apples or like a box of blueberries.
I got blueberries in the fridge.
dude.
I got blueberries in strawberry.
I'll eat a pound of blueberries just per sitting. Just boom.
Hey, just knock them out. That's what I've been doing lately. I've been trying not to eat. Like, I'm not going to stop smoking.
Right.
So
right,
I need
right.
to find healthier stuff to eat.
Right, right.
So I'm like eating like fruit.
Yeah, totally. And that gets the sweet fix too. If
you
I
do.
Really want
oh,
something
I love some,
sweet,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, I'll just eat some fruit because that'll give me that fix.
If you didn't have fruit, what would be your sweet fix?
I don't know. I don't know because I try to stay away from that stuff.
He was like,
general.
I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah.
I don't even want to think about it. It's
fruit. I'm like a coffee guy in the morning. I like my coffee and my weed or my coffee and my hash. You know, that's like a...
It's like a staple.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I was talking to Dusty. That's his. It was like, wake up, I'm gonna hash. Hashing, you know, high conversations. I'm like, man, that's a... I get up with a blunt and mud water. That's my...
There you go. I'm interested about that mud water. I've seen the ads for it. Yeah. It's got mushrooms in it, right?
It's lion's mane. Yeah. I'll show you the
chaga.
It's got turmeric and cacao and stuff like
nice.
That.
Nice.
But it's really good.
It's got good flavor.
It does. Nice. I spice it up because it's not just necessarily just that. You can put creamer in it, so I put like hazelnut creamer.
I mean, coffee's heart heavy on the body,
it
too,
is.
Man.
It is. And
good for your gut and stuff.
I heard I got tinnitus in my right ear, and I found out that caffeine is a heavy contributor to the effects of
caffeine. What is
tinnitus? Is when you deafen one. Like, you have like a constant ringing. I was deployed and combat engineer, blowing stuff up, got the hearing to prove it. But they said that caffeine is a heavy contributor to that. And I was like, I was told by a professor, like, I have to get off coffee for like 2 years to 2 to 5 years to really see an improvement.
Wow.
So yeah, and I used to coffee like 2-3 times a day when I was in the military. I was just banging them out. When I got locked up, same thing. And now I'm like, oh shit, probably fuck myself up drinking all the time. I don't know, but still, you know.
Yeah, I don't think it's great for your body. I definitely drink a lot of it, but I don't eat a lot during the day, and I just, like, you know, I'm getting stoned, so, like, I need, like, some kind of stimulants to keep me going.
Keep it going. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Next question is, what kind of music do you like to listen to?
I'm kind of all over the place with music.
Everybody.
I could go from, like, country to hip-hop. I mean, I'm, like, everywhere.
What would be your artist that, if you had to sit down and smoke hash to Puff the Puff Co., who would be your artist?
I don't know. I mean, it's going to sound cliche. I really like the Grateful Dead and Fish.
That's but, what I say. Like, everybody has their thing. Like,
but, you know, that's just kind of what I'm into. Yeah. I do like all kinds of music, but, I mean, those are really
those are your
favorites.
Go-tos. Yeah. I have my go-tos that, you know what I'm saying? I got my little jazz list that I'll be like, oh, let me hit this real quick, you know? So, yeah, it's cool.
But then I have days, you know, days where I'm just like, I just want to listen to, like, Tribe Called Quest all day. Or, like, you know, I just want to listen to Waylon Jennings all day. You know, it's just like I get in these grooves. I want to listen to roots reggae all day.
Nah, that's cool. It's just the mood, the setting, the environment, the ambiance that you create. So
yeah. Music's important, though. You know, definitely, like, whatever I'm doing, I definitely appreciate having music to help me through the flow and all that.
I've been sending music back and forth with people, and it's cool to get music that you've never heard before, and then you be like, oh, this shit's a banger. Like, you know, I love all the same way. I'm everywhere on the musical spectrum. But, like, when music is placed in your life, it's almost like a love language. Like, it gets placed in your life, and it's like, oh, I didn't know this.
Yeah.
And what I'll do is I get on Spotify, and then I'll make it a radio, and I'll scroll through all the songs, and I'll be like, okay, if the list doesn't have a bunch of checks on it, this is all new for me. So I'm like, they'll grunt through, and I'll be like, okay, I like this song. Like, I don't like that one, but I do like this one. You know, I love music. I love it. You know what I'm saying? So final question is, what kind of activities do you like to do? I did forget my question. So that's why I was looking at that. I was like, fuck, what kind of activities do you like to do?
A lot of those. I like to get out in the mountains, whether that's on a bike or on skis or on foot. I like to ride motorcycles. Glass blowing has really become more of a hobby now that the past few years of my life. So it's kind of that would be an activity that I would enjoy when I have time at this point too. But yeah, I'm really, like, I'm working all the time. I'm not sleeping, I'm working.
You hear that,
man.
You hear that shit, people? There's the lazy stoner. We some lazy stoners. All we do is smoke weed.
I mean,
but like, when I'm setting up interviews, it's like, hey, I got to do this. And like, maybe we can set something up the month out or... And for us to be some lazy stoners, we sure are busy.
Dude, I drive 1,000 miles a week.
Yo.
I I don't have any partners or employees, so I do everything myself. I do all my own packaging. I weigh out every single gram and fill every single cartridge and weigh out every single eighth. Yeah.
The hustle, baby.
Yeah. You know, I'm up till midnight, one sometimes working, and then I'm up at 5:30.
Back at it.
You know, a couple of those days in a row, whoop your ass.
Oh, I know. I remember those days.
Yeah.
I'm so glad.
Not even
on the weed side, but just still, like.
Yeah, it's tough getting less than like 7 hours of sleep is tough. Yeah. So I try to get good sleep and tell myself like, dude, you're gonna blow tomorrow if you don't get good sleep. You know what I mean?
That's what's up. Self care is very important, and especially when it comes to rest. Like, got to do that. Especially if you're driving over 1,000 a week. Damn, that shit.
So
crazy.
I live in my car.
Yeah.
I live. I mean, shit. What did I put on? 300 miles today.
That's insane, man. Man, you out here hustling, dog. Well, look, check this out. Thank you so much for coming out. Can you tell them where to find you on Instagram or on social media
page? Yeah, totally. So that's going to be the Ridgetop Botanicals page.
Okay.
There is a Sugar Shack Melts page, but running to it's so overwhelming.
Yes, it
I don't have the mental capacity to keep up with two accounts. So
I got two Instagrams.
I try to just kind of run it through one, and when I have time, update the other one. But yeah, it's really the Ridgetop one.
It is. All right. So Ridgetop Botanicals on Instagram. You got a website?
Yeah, I do. Ridgetopbotanicals.com.
Okay, there we go. Hey, man, thank you for driving this far. Right.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, man, I told you I wanted to provide an experience for you. I want to, when people come up, especially when they see my vision. When people see my vision, I feel like they invest in me, they invest my time. So I have to invest in them as well. And you driving 2 hours, 2.5 hours from Redland?
About 2:15
somewhere in there. But that's 5 hours. Total round trip. So I don't want you to come up here for like 35 minutes.
Sure, sure.
And you know what I'm saying? We do a podcast and then you out. Nah, you got to create an experience for you. So I'm glad I could accommodate.
Yeah.
You know? So once again, for like the 50th time, my old producer used to be like, yo, you thank everybody so much when they come on. I'd be like, I'm a thankful person. You know? So, and of course, thank y'all for listening. Greatly appreciate y'all tuning in every week. I just appreciate y'all listening. Everybody who listens helped me grow, so greatly appreciate y'all. I got some more things cooking on the home front, so you know how I give it up. I be out here hustling just like my man's over here. We hustling, lazy ass stoners us. But thank y'all for listening. Y'all know the drill. Y'all stay blazing and stay amazing. We out.
That's cool, man.
That's
cool. Yeah,
right?
That's cool.
I'm glad.
Hell yeah.
Pop that podcast chair. That's what I like, man. I like to have.
This podcast is supported by Sunset Lake Cannabis, a farmer-owned, climate-neutral certified cannabis company in South Hero, Vermont. To learn more about them, visit sunsetlakecannabis.com, follow them on Instagram at sunsetlakecannabis, or stop by their South Hero flagship store, Lake Effect, Vermont.